We are his body. We are made up of all who have like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and who claim him as our Messiah. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our background is, what our pedigree is, so to speak. I mean, God doesn't care about those things. As far as inclusion in his body, in Christ there is no east or west. In him, no north or south. But we are one body in Christ. He is inclusivistic. And I think we make a mistake when we try to be exclusivistic. When Jesus wants us to be inclusivistic. He wants us to say to others, come with us. We will do the good. The Lord has done good to us, and we will do you good in return if you will come with us. And it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they look like. We're only one race here, as I understand the Bible and even biology. We're only one race. And Christ has included all. He has included me. He has included you. Isn't that wonderful? Because sometimes we feel excluded, don't we? We feel like there are some societies we're not good enough to be a part of. Or we don't fit in. Or we feel like we're not in the right society. But Christ has invited all. So there's an inclusion in that mysterious body. There's an inheritance. Here it says that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. We're heirs together with Israel and shares in the promise in Christ Jesus. Did you know that you're a child of the King? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you love him. You know he died on the cross for your sins. And you've invited him into your life. Then you are a child of the King. You have been born again into his family. And don't let the devil browbeat you and tell you that you're nothing, that you're just filth, because Christ has called us to be a part of his body. We're of inestimable value to Christ. Now, I know we are sinners. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And I suppose if we would say, Paul, if you're a chief, then I'm the cheaper. I'm more chief than you are. We'd have to be honest that way. But we have an inheritance, don't we? And that inheritance, the Bible says, is laid up for us in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through nor steal. Every other inheritance is subject to those things, but not the inheritance that we have as children of the King. So we are a mysterious body. We are also a ministered to body. Look with me at verses 7 and following. Paul writes, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which is for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was now through his church. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, faith in him, we have approached God with freedom and confidence. And he goes on there, and as Paul often does, he goes on. He was a preacher, remember. So he says, I ask therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. For this reason I kneel before my Father, the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now there's provision here, isn't there? You find that there's anything that he will not give to those of us who belong to him. Paul prays that he will strengthen us with power through his Spirit. And Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 12, it talks about how we are members of that body. And as every member, each member of the body supplies something that is lacking in the other, so do we. I think that's why so many people are, frankly, going crazy today. Mental hospitals. I don't know that we have mental hospitals anymore, but people are walking the streets half crazed. Well, I think part of the reason for the, and I don't mean to make light of mental problems that people have, but I think a lot of the reason why we become off-center, why we can become disturbed, for lack of a better term, and I know most of us have been accused of being disturbed at one time or another, but I think that the reason is that we have not availed ourselves of the strength of the body, the strength that flows from the head, and that the every need then supplies that which we lack. I think that's one of the reasons for marriage. Frankly, I lack a lot of things. Most do. The ladies, you lack. It's not just marriage. It's what God, how God created us. Because the Bible says, when God created man, he said it is not good that the man should be alone. I know most of you men say amen to that. I've heard a few amens. But he's not just talking about that marriage relationship. He's talking about the fact that we need each other, isn't he? We need each other. And sometimes I think we get prideful and we think, well, I don't need those people over there. Why, I don't need so-and-so. And we become proud. And therefore, we get off track. And maybe You know, we're just a hair short of being insane because we've neglected the body. I think he's talking here about a ministered to body. There's provision there. There's purpose. We adopted a purpose not too long ago. It's a little shorter than the purpose statement in our Constitution, but it's on the front of your bulletin there. I'm sure you've seen it. But I just want to remind you that we are to be a people of purpose. Verse 11 there says, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are to be purposeful. And any time that we are not purposeful, then we're just going through the motions. We're just doing a ritual that maybe makes us feel better, but it really doesn't help. It really doesn't help us to grow into the stature or the fullness of Christ, as the Bible says we should. And then there's a passion in that ministry. In verse 17, we can hear it in the words of Paul here, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up, filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I think if we err in anything as Christians, we ought to err on the side of love, because our Savior did. He embraced all, even those that maybe we would have trouble with embracing. But there's a ministered to body here. Mysterious, ministered to. But thirdly, mighty. Look with me at verse 20 again. Well, I don't think we got this far, but look with me at verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, there's a source of that might. I have to go back to verse 16 there, but in verse 16 he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, out of his glorious riches may he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That word power is our word dynamite. God wants to make dynamite out of us. Now maybe we're... Now don't preach your own sermon, Brother Curtis. But I know sometimes we might be about to explode in more ways than one. He's not talking about that. But he's talking about that inner power, that inner strength, that power that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ. How, I mean, he did some pretty remarkable things. He was a remarkable man. He was not just a man, of course. He was the God-man. How can we be like him? Well, we can be like him because we have him in us. And he said, the greater things than I do shall you do. So there's a might here. The source of our might is Christ. The supply of our might. Look with me at verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. Do we believe that? Do you remember the story of the 12 spies? I'm sure you remember that when the spies were sent out. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness after they left Egypt. They were wandering around out there. They were just kind of going around in circles, kind of the way a lot of God's people do today. Not really accomplishing anything. Maybe just being humble. Just kind of living in the wilderness. You ever feel like you've been there? Then they had decided they'd form a committee. And as not all committees are a good idea, but and I'm not sure this was, but they did form a committee, and they decided, well, we're going to elect one from every tribe, and we're going to send them up, have an exploration committee, explore the land of promise. And they came back with glowing reports. They said, well, the land is exactly what God said it was. You know, duh. Wouldn't it be? But they even went beyond what had been described. They said, well, it's a beautiful land. It's fruitful. It's just a wonderful place. But then 10 of them, I think it was 10, came back, and well, they, you know, I guess they probably had a panel there, you know, kind of like the debates, maybe, and they all gave their opinion. And one by one, they said, well, it's a good, beautiful land, but, and they began to list all of the obstacles that there would be if God forbid, they were to go up there and possess that land. And so there was this negative attitude that spread among the people. It was because they didn't believe God, isn't it? That they didn't believe that God was big enough to do what he had promised that he was going to do. Well, here Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. There's a supply of our might here spoken of in the Lord. Nothing that he has called us to do is he going to not give us the power to do it. Isn't that awesome? We ought to think, when we begin to... think a negative thought that we're not able to do anything, that you know this isn't going to happen, that there's all kinds of obstacles. But we need to recognize where that came from. It came from the pit down there. It didn't come from up there. No, if we believe now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, the King James Version says, above all that we ask or think, then we'll go forward realizing that he is the source of our supply. And then the supremacy of our might, spoken of there. I don't know that words could even express. It's as if Paul was thinking of how to put this. Now, I know he was writing it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure that human words can even fully express the supremacy of our might, the power that is available to us who name the name of Christ and who have been melted together in this body called His church.